Hi, I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and this is Toxic Free Talk Radio, where we talk about how to thrive in a toxic world and live toxic free. It's Wednesday, September 30th. Wow, September's gone already. September 30th, 2015. And I'm here in Clearwater, Florida, where the sun is shining. It's sunny Florida, although it hasn't been so most of the summer, but now it's getting into our beautiful fall and winter time. So if you've been wanting to come to Florida, now's the time. This is why people live in Florida, is for October, November, December, January, February, March. It's just beautiful and not snowing and 70 degrees. So anyway, today what we're going to do is a show about wireless, just a basic wireless 101 to really understand what wireless is, and how it can affect your health and how widespread it is and different kinds of wireless. And the reason I was prompted to do this show and invite my guest on today is because a few weeks ago I got a new computer. And I had to because my computer totally died after 8 years. And when he came to work to help me set things up, he said, well, why aren't you using the wireless keyboard and the wireless mouse? And I said, because I don't do wireless. And he says, you don't do wireless? He couldn't figure this out. Everybody does wireless. And I said, no, because I don't want to have the health effects of wireless. And he says, oh, it's perfectly safe. I have worked with it for a long time, and I've done a lot of research. And he says, it's not, there's different types of wireless, and this one is totally fine. And I just realized that I know a lot about toxic chemicals because I've been studying that for 30 years and have reviewed so many products, et cetera. But wireless is an important consumer issue, health issue, and I don't know as much about it as I should. And so I thought we could all learn together. When you see the word wireless, what does that mean? When you see the word Wi-Fi, what does that mean? How are these things affecting our bodies? And so I brought in somebody who knows the answers to these questions to talk to us. My guest today is Orem Miller. He's a certified building biology environmental consultant based in Los Angeles, and he specializes in all these electromagnetic things. Hi, Orem.
Hi, Deborah.
How are you today? How's the weather in L.A.?
Just as sunny and warm as it is in Florida.
Yeah. I would expect it would be. Okay, so let's just start at the beginning. I have a list of words here that I'd like you to define, but you know more about this subject than I do, and I realize that I don't even know enough to organize my thoughts about it. So if you think that I'm asking you questions and that you should tell me things like in a different order, feel free to just say what makes sense to you. Even if it doesn't answer my question.
All right, go ahead.
Okay, so the first question is, what define the word wireless. When we see wireless, what does that mean?
Well, basically it means communicating between devices without cords or without wires.
And so could that mean that it would be communicating in many different ways?
Well, the only way that's done now is with radio transmission, although your remote control device for your TV and entertainment center can be programmed to either use infrared, light that you can't see. It's in the infrared spectrum. But it's not radio frequency based, and it's safe. And you know that because you put your hand over the top of it as you hold the remote control in your hand face up, and you put your hand at the end of it, and you try and change the channel or change the volume, and nothing happens. Take your hand away. And then the beam of light that goes out the top of that remote is picked up by a little eye on the TV, and then the channel changes. Now, if it's radio frequency, which bothers some of the clients that I work with, then when you change the channel and put your hand over the end of it, the channel does change because it's the wireless frequencies are going right through your hand.
Okay, so just to reiterate what you just said, so for when you're talking about remote controls for a television or I assume like a stereo, anything that's a remote control. Ceiling fans sometimes have remote controls.
True.
So those could be either infrared or radio frequency.
Well, and for the TV in the entertainment center, yes. Not for a fan. That would be radio. And your garage door opener is another wireless device.
And that would be radio.
Yes, it would be radio. It's not infrared. You hit that, you pull your visor down as you're approaching your garage, and you press the button, and it sends out a radio signal in 360 degrees, but it goes out far enough right through the windshield and through the garage door that it's picked up by the radio receiver that's mounted on the garage door opener, which opens the garage door.
Okay, so let me ask you my next question. So then what does Wi-Fi mean?
I think it means wireless fidelity as opposed to hi-fi. I think somebody got clever and thought that they'd put a W instead of the H. You remember the old...
hi-fi.
Yeah, well, high fidelity back in the 50s and 60s distinguished it from the old mono with tubes and such that didn't sound very good. But when stereo came along, they called it high fidelity or hi-fi. Mm-hmm. I remember that in the 60s when I was a kid.
I did too. Me too. Yeah.
Okay, so then 30 years later, 40, 50 years later, then they developed wireless, communication between computers and printers and the router, and so they called it Wi-Fi. Now, by the way, for those of your listeners who already know about this, there is a technology that uses infrared. I want to not forget this. It's called Li-Fi, and it means light fidelity or light communication. And there is a company, Beamcaster, from Russia, that sells a unit that is used in offices in the U.S. and Europe where they have an open plenum, where they have an open seating where they have dividers for the cubicles, but it's all an open space overhead. And they have a unit in the middle of the ceiling, in the middle of the large room, with receivers and transmitters that are light-based using infrared beams in the corners of the room. And so the Internet signal is transmitted on this light signal, which has no radio waves at all. It's just purely infrared light, and it has direct connections there. And that's safe from our standpoint. And it's four times faster than Wi-Fi, and you can't hack it. So they're moving in that direction. And this gentleman who's developing this is actually trying to integrate this into the light beam that comes from overhead LED lights. He says you can bond or marry the infrared signals onto the light signals as long as you have a receiver that picks it up down underneath the light beam on the desk. So you can move around in a room if you have overhead LED lights. And the idea is to integrate this throughout the house as you move from one room to another, because the big problem is portability. And the problem that I deal with this issue when I go into people's homes is they'll call me for one particular EMF. They'll say, I have a trimeter, which is the tri-field meter, which measures magnetic fields, and not so sensitive in the electric and radio frequency spectrum, so we don't really recommend that meter for those purposes, because the safe exposure levels that we feel are important are way lower than what the tri-field meter can measure in those two settings. But for magnetic fields, it does measure the magnetic fields. And so people will say, the needle is going up. I have high magnetic fields in my home. Can you come and evaluate that? And so I do. And, but when I'm there, I say, or I tell them on the phone ahead of time, now there are three other types of EMFs besides magnetic field. There are electric fields from house wiring, which are different than magnetic fields and need a different meter that's more sensitive than the tri-field to measure, and they affect your sleep. That's where they are a problem primarily.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
I think we talked about that on the first time you had me on your show.
Right, but you should say it again, because not everybody has heard this.
and it's very important. It's important that people know that there are four types of EMFs. The electric fields are the unknown EMF, and they affect the quality and depth of your sleep. So, and nobody really knows about them outside of our profession. And in fact, if you use an earthing mat, which are very popular, which there's a difference of opinion in my profession about that. But if you get the electric field levels down, and you have to do that with a test that we can do for people, and then they can shut off the breakers that need to be shut off to reduce the electric fields in their bedroom, because the voltage comes out of the wall 6 feet. The field, the electric field from the voltage comes out 6 feet, even if the current is not present, even if the lights are off.
We need to go to break.
Okay.
So let's do the break and then come back in. And I want to hear more about this, because you've been saying a lot of things. Four types of fields. I want to make sure we cover all four. And I want to hear what the difference is opinion about the earthing mat. I'm sure people's ears are perking up. All right. We're going to go to break. This is Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Aura Miller, certified building biology environmental consultant, and his website is createhealthyhomes.com. We'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Aura Miller. He's a certified building biology environmental consultant, and his website is createhealthyhomes.com. Okay, so Aura, we were talking about these different types of fields. Let's start. You said four types of fields. So what are the four types of fields?
So
magnetic?
Well, magnetic fields from house wiring, alternating current house wiring. And then there are electric fields from house wiring, which are present even if you turn the light off. So if there's no current flowing, there won't be any magnetic field. But if there's no, but the voltage is still there coming out of the lamp cord and out of the wall from the plastic Romex circuits that we have in our homes, 6 feet. And what that does is that is oscillating, the field, the electric field, comes out 6 feet, and it's only measured with instruments that can measure electric field. And it comes out positive, and then it recedes, and then it expands again with a negative polarity, and then it collapses. So it expands and collapses and expands and collapses, but it's positive, negative, positive, negative. And that goes on 120 times a second, so it's very rapid. And what happens is all the ions in your cells, the calcium ions, the potassium and sodium ions, they're all polarized, they're all charged, and they either have a positive or a negative charge. And those ions are alternately attracted or repulsed from the wire in the wall or the cord that you have by your bed that's within that 6-foot bubble around your body, if you will, in all directions, up, down, left, right, beyond the head and beyond the foot. If you're in that field, then you don't get a good night's sleep because these ions are alternately being attracted or repulsed like a drunken sailor trying to walk down the street. You just can't walk straight because he has buffeting winds coming at him from the left or right. Well, that's another example, but I'm mixing my metaphors. But you see what I mean.
I do see what you mean. And so that kind of begs the question of, I don't know how big my bedroom is right now, but I've slept in smaller bedrooms. And I remember when I was a child, my bedroom was, I just lived in a regular suburban house that had like a standard 9x12 bedroom. And how are you just like can't have electricity in the room.
Right. And even if you have a big bedroom, you know, I go to clients' homes here in Los Angeles that are large as well as small, and people don't move their bed into the middle of the room, and that's not the solution that we recommend. What we recommend is having a professional assessment, or people can do this on their own. On my website, createhealthyhomes.com, in the articles on EMF section, you can see separate articles that I've written on these four types of EMFs, and the third is radio frequencies or wireless, and the fourth is dirty electricity. And then under EMF meters and instruments, I have my recommended list of meters and instruments that you can purchase, as well as information on how to use them. There are also links to a separate website that belongs to Jerry Day, who's a smart meter activist here in Southern California, and he approached me a year ago and said, can you recommend some inexpensive and affordable meters that I can recommend to my website viewers? And so I did. And he arranged to get them wholesale, and so he makes a little money selling them retail. And I have a link to his website. And then he said, can we do some videos to show people how to use these meters? So we did that. He's a documentary filmmaker anyway. And so over 2 days, we spent 2 days at a friend's home of his actually shooting footage of me showing people how to use the particular meters that I chose for him. And at the same time, it gives me a chance to educate people on what the EMFs are and where you'll find them in the house. So
that's a really great resource. That I think that's really needed because this is so important. I mean, I think that this is, in terms of health, as important as toxic chemicals. And
yes.
And so, but it's even more difficult to understand. And
well,
so anything that you can do to educate people so that they can help themselves in this area to understand the issues and also the meters and how to use them, I think is fantastic.
Yes, I have links to that website, which is www.emfhelpcenter.com. I have links to that website from the little red banner with web address on from my website, createhealthyhomes.com. Now, to answer your or to comment on what you just said, Deborah, it's very true. There is a growing awareness of EMFs thanks to smart meters and cell phones, and most people out in the world who are not, you know, who don't know a building biologist or haven't gone through the training that we provide, and I'm part of the faculty now for that. What they know is cell phones, smart meters, earthing pads, and dirty electricity with Stetcher filters, and also these chips and pendants. Now, the interesting thing about all that is that covers a certain portion of the EMF spectrum and the EMF field or range of possible sources that you can have, but it does not acknowledge or take into consideration really the magnetic fields, the electric fields, or even some components of the radio frequencies. The emphasis is a little bit skewed on portions of this topic that are part of the picture, but not the entire picture. So that's where we come in, and I'm not trying to say that we're better or you know, any judgment like that. It's just that we have a very comprehensive knowledge in
yes,
the building biology profession.
I'm familiar with your program, and so I can vouch for the fact that it's very comprehensive.
Well, it's based. We've had this conversation before. Helmut Zia came to Clearwater 27 or 8 years ago from Germany and founded the North American chapter of the building biology profession, marrying an American woman. And mm-hmm. he passed away 2-3 years ago from a stroke. But his widow, Susanna, is still there in Clearwater. And that was our headquarters for many, many years.
Yes. And I knew Helmut and still know Susanna. In fact, I have a funny story about Helmut. I met him many years ago, like when he first came to America at some conference. And we only met that once, and then I moved to Clearwater, Florida. And I wasn't thinking, I could see Helmut. I hadn't seen him in years. And then I went to a supermarket, and I was reaching for a carton of organic eggs, and he was reaching for the same carton of organic eggs.
A little divine intervention there?
Yeah, and we just, like, looked at each other, and he said, Deborah, after he had met me once, like 25 years ago.
He was a remarkable man.
Yes, yes, very, very much so.
He recruited every one of us, so.
Yes.
Great, great organization. I'm so proud to be part of it.
Yes, yes. I'm so glad that you all are doing what you're doing about biology. Very much so. All right, so we need to go to break again. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Orem Miller. He's a certified building biology environmental consultant. His website is createhealthyhomes.com. And when we come back, I'm scribbling things down as you're saying them. So I want to hear about, we still need to talk about the earthing mats and also dirty electricity. And I want to hear about the chips and pendants because people are always sending me things and saying, do these work? So let's find out the answer to that question too. We'll be right back. To Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Orem Miller, certified building biology environmental consultant, and his website, he's got lots of articles on his website. You should go there. It's createhealthyhomes.com. Okay, so let's tell me what is the controversy about earthing mats?
Well, the problem is, if you don't eliminate the electric fields that come from the plastic wiring in the circuits, in the walls, and the cords next to your bed, which are just inches from your body on multiple sides, then you actually are an antenna. Your body's an antenna. It's bad enough to be in that field because it, without the earthing mat, because it does affect and diminish the amount of melatonin that your pineal gland releases in the middle of the night, and it prevents you from getting into deep stage 4 sleep every 90 minutes of the cycle, so you're not getting the deep rest and rejuvenation and recuperation that your cells need. So if you go to my website, createhealthyhomes.com, and you click on comments from clients, you'll see real testimonials from people that I've worked with over the years where they say that they're sleeping through the night, they're awakening more refreshed, the kids are not falling asleep in class the next day. So these are all benefits that come from having learning how to evaluate this for yourself or have a building biologist do this for you to see which circuits to shut off, making sure you don't shut off the refrigerator and the smoke alarms and so on. And there are convenient ways of turning that off from inside the bedroom rather than having to go down to your breaker panel every night and every morning.
So the solution is to turn off circuits at night so they're
bedroom. Identify.
Yeah. Yes. The correct ones so that they're not on in your bedroom at night, but they're still on in the rest of the house. You need to get wires.
No, we don't turn them all off, just the ones that raise the level. And you don't want to just turn off the breaker for the outlets in your room, because you could have one or two more circuits going under the floor or in the wall that you don't know about that keep the level up. So it's really necessary to have a proper evaluation. Then you know what's going on.
Why would you even turn them back on? Why not just create a bedroom? I mean, you're just going there to sleep anyway.
Well, no, but you need them for your lights. You know, I mean, it's the last thing you do before you go to sleep, because otherwise your room is totally dark when you
put
in it.
Okay, I got it. Okay.
And then, you know, then we deal with, you know, sometimes you have a breaker that does two bedrooms, the mom and dad, but then their son, who's 18, is next door or underneath, and they're on the same circuit. Or the field from their circuit, goes into mom's room. So who goes to bed first? I mean, it's really quite a challenge to do this on a daily basis. Every house is unique, but we work through it. And I work with people long distance over the phone, by the way, to help them. If they have no building biologist where they live, then I'll do it over the phone with them by phone and email. And they send me photos, and they get meters, and I teach them how to use it. How to use them to do their own readings under my guidance, and then with the knowledge and information that I get from them, then we can come up with a mitigation plan for all these EMFs. So relative to the earthing mat.
Right.
So if that field is there and you lay on an earthing mat, which is there to provide a path for beneficial negative ions or electrons to come from the earth, which is a big donor of electrons, which are beneficial in this case to our bodies, which we all got naturally when we walked barefoot on the earth for centuries, you know, millennia, until we got into modern times and we live in these structures and wear shoes with synthetic materials, not leather, but synthetic materials that insulate us from the ground. We're not getting the beneficial ions, so we're electron depleted, and it leads to all sorts of diseases that Clint Ober talks, the book Earthing talks about this. By Marty Zucker. So basically, that's what the earthing pad is for. However, if you have these fields in your room, which everyone does, unless you live in Chicago or New York and you don't have anything plugged in, then you have metal clad wiring in your walls by code in those cities, but that's a whole other story. So everyone has plastic wiring and everyone has electric fields where they sleep, everyone. So if you have those fields in your bedroom and you're laying on the earthing mat, and Clint knows this, we talked to him about it because he lectured at our conference, and one of our building biologists worked with him for a while. These fields get picked up by the body, the electric field, and then they run through your body or on the surface of it primarily onto the sheet and down that wire in the process of grounding of the man-made electrons that are not healthy coming through the air from the circuits in the wall and the cords that are on the bedside table. And that's a deleterious effect on the physiology. And a lot of people who are electrically sensitive, clients of mine, they say they feel buzzed when they get on one of these sheets. Now, the reverse is what should be happening, which does, which is the bringing up of beneficial ions from the soil, and that's the process of earthing. But you want to get rid of the man-made electric fields from the circuits. So we say, as opposed to the German building biologists who say never use the earthing mat, we say, well, hold on a minute. We know how to use these properly. We go ahead and we reduce the electric field levels through the techniques and the protocols that we use. And then if you want to add the earthing pad, that's fine because there are no fields to be amplified or to run through you, you see. Then you can have the best of both worlds.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. I read Earthing. I think it's a really good book, and I totally agree with the concept of that we need to be connected electromagnetically to the earth. But my viewpoint was that I didn't want to buy another device that would do this when I could just go out in my backyard and put my feet on the grass and lie my body down on the grass.
But you could do both. You could do that in the daytime.
Yes.
And, you know, you and I live in warm climates, Florida and California, so we can do that most of the year. all the year round, but then at night you can do it too if you've gotten rid of the electric fields, and you should do that anyway. No one should sleep in electric field environments at night.
Now, Deborah, I'm going to go to your website and get those articles and take a look at that, because
yes.
I think I need to do that to my bedroom. So go on. What were you going to say?
Well, because I know we want to talk about wireless.
I know, but all of this is good too. So let's go back to wireless, because we only have one segment left. We've got about a minute right now, and then we've only got one segment left.
Well, let me answer the chips in real quickly before the break.
Yeah, let's do that.
We have a position paper on our professions website, hpelc.org, and I have a position paper on them on my website on these chips and pendants and home harmonizers. And basically, we feel that they have value, because studies do show that they do benefit the physiology. But we do not believe that you should use them as your sole or exclusive way of protecting yourself. We say it's like a guy who has four ashtrays with burning cigarettes in his room, and is filling the room with smoke. And someone comes along and says, I can sell you an air purifier that will clear the smoke. It does. But the ashtrays are still producing the smoke. We know how to identify the ashtrays and get rid of them, or convince the client to change, as you'll hear in the final segment, to hardwired ways of connecting instead of wireless. And so that's the analogy. We say find the EMFs and reduce them. You know, increase distance for the wireless devices, reduce use, favor hardwired alternatives. And if you want to use and that protects your home environment, but then use the chips and pendants when you go out, because you can't control that environment.
That's a really good balanced answer, and it kind of parallels what I talk about with chemicals, because you can just put an air purifier in a house and it'll remove the chemicals, but you really need to remove them at the source and use the air purifier when you need to. We need to go to break. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Aura Miller, certified building biology environmental consultant, and his website is createhealthyhomes.com. I will be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Aura Miller, certified building biology environmental consultant, and his website is createhealthyhomes.com. And all right, so let me just ask you one more question, and then I want to hear the solution to wireless. So what is Bluetooth?
Well, Bluetooth is just another frequency and another technology. It's just not as strong as a Wi-Fi, nor is it as strong as cell phones. You have frequencies, and then you have power density, and the power density determines how far the signal goes. So Bluetooth is a technology that uses relatively low power transmitters in the computer and in the thing in your ear, or your mouse or your keyboard that's cordless. And so they're talking to each other. And the harm, by the way, comes from the transmission, not the receiving. So you can have an AM or FM radio next to your head all day long, and it's battery operated. It wouldn't really cause any harm to the cells. But nowadays we have portable transmitters in the form of cell phones, laptops, these Bluetooth things that you put in your ear, and they're transmitting. And they transmit much more often than you realize, and that's where the harm comes.
Okay, so I have a Mac, and it comes with a wireless keyboard and mouse, but I'm not using them. Is it still transmitting?
Yes. So are you sitting in front of your computer now?
I'm sitting in front of my computer now, and so I'm not having any gain by not using the keyboard, right?
I'm sorry, say it again?
I'm not having any benefit from not using the keyboard because the computer's still transmitting.
Is that right?
Actually,
true. So look at the top. I'm looking at my Mac as well right now.
Okay.
So on the toolbar at the top, you have the date and the day and the time. And to the left of that,
Yes, go ahead.
And to the left of that, in the upper right corner, is the, you know, the speaker and the sound. And at least on mine, to the left of that is the Wi-Fi icon, which looks like a piece of pizza. You know, it's a V with a curved line at the top.
Right.
Well, mine doesn't have any curved lines inside of it, because I clicked on that and I scrolled down, and it says turn Wi-Fi on mine because it's off. So
okay, so mine is off too because I clicked on it and it says turn Wi-Fi on.
All right, that means that it's off, and the other way you know it's off is because that piece of pizza is empty, devoid of curved lines. Now, if the curved lines are there but they're gray, it means that there's no, they're not picking up a Wi-Fi signal, but your computer is sending out a Wi-Fi signal looking for a router. And if they're black, or the first one or two are black, it tells you how strong the connection is to the router on a Wi-Fi basis. Now, the emblem to the left of that, which on most Macs is a straight vertical line with then a little flag, triangles to the right and also lines to the left, that symbol is for Bluetooth. So you can,
I don't have that at all.
You don't?
No.
Well, it's in there somewhere, and it may look different on more modern, I've got a pretty recent Mac Mini, but still, I've seen that the Bluetooth symbol looks a little different in some more recent Mac models.
Okay.
Anyway, you click on it, and the drop-down menu says turn Bluetooth on or turn Bluetooth off. If that icon is dark, then it means that it's on, and if you don't have a cordless mouse or keyboard, then you want to go to that icon up there and then click on it, and then the drop-down menu appears below it. And you scroll down and left-click on Turn Bluetooth Off, and then it goes gray. That icon, instead of black, it's gray, whatever shape it has. And then the Bluetooth is off. Now, we can determine this with the radio frequency detectors that we carry with us on the job as building biologists, and you can purchase radio frequency meters as well, and you can tell whether that's on or off depending on the reading you get on the meter. And some of these meters have sound, so Bluetooth has a particular sound, and Wi-Fi has a different sound. It sounds like a helicopter. Tick, 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 tick. That's what Wi-Fi sounds like. Cordless telephone base units also emit continuous signals. So when you hang up the phone, I mean, the radio frequency signal from a cordless handset in your hand next to your head is huge. It's very potentially harmful, and that's a whole other, that's part of our story. But when you hang that up, when you hit off and stop the call and put it in this charging cradle, and it happens to be the base unit with the cord that goes to the telephone jack, that base unit is continuously putting out radio frequency signals 24/7, filling that room with this signal. So you should definitely not have that in your bedroom.
Well, when some years ago, I had a whole team of bell biologists come to my house and do the whole chemical and EMF. It was one of the classes I saw. I had everybody in that graduating class came to my house. I was the house.
We did the same thing when we were down there. Yeah.
Yeah. And there were two things that read on the EMFs, and one was that we have a lot of lightning here, and so a lot of people have, I forgot what they're called. It's like a backup thing so that we still have electricity. And
backup
so,
generator?
Yeah. And I had one sitting right under my desk, and I just put my feet on it all day long.
Oh, you're talking about an uninterrupted power supply for your computer.
Yes, yes.
Oh, that's a huge emitter of magnetic.
It was huge. And the other one was sitting right next to me. It was my cordless phone. And those were the only two things, and I was sitting right next to them all day long. And as soon as they told me that, I took both of them out, and I've never had them again.
Well, now you can have the UPS or uninterrupted power supply. Just move it. Get a Gauss meter, Deborah, and people.
I have one.
Okay, and then all you do is just put it next to the device and see the power supply and see how strong the field is. And you'll notice with point sources, like which are transformers and motors like that, mm-hmm. the field is very strong up close, but it drops off exponentially very quickly as you pull away. So you pull it away, and within 1 or 2 feet, it goes down to the ambient level of the room, which should be below 1 milligauss. So you just push that thing over, out, get it away from your feet, 2 or 3 feet, and get a longer cord. You know what I'm saying.
I know what you're saying. Yeah.
I spend an hour at the computer desk of my client, just going through all these things. And in fact, on my website, I have a page called Safer Use of Computers. And on that page, I have broken down how to clean up that place for each of the four types of EMF, not just including your computer, but
this
peripheral equipment. Yeah. So, in the remaining minutes, let me just say that the whole issue of wireless and radio frequency exposure is a real conundrum, and I'll tell you why. Because on the one hand, we have not only industry that is following the exact same playbook that the tobacco and asbestos and lead and gasoline industries did decades ago. In fact, they're hiring the same PR firms, public relations firms, to help them with this, to obscure the truth and distort it and attack the messenger and just say that there's no evidence of any harm when, in fact, there's thousands of studies that show that there is. So that's going on. And at the same time, people love the portability and the accessibility. And the majority mm-hmm. of people don't feel symptoms. But everyone is affected on a cellular level, according to research by people like Martin Blank, who wrote the book, a PhD, retired from Columbia University, who wrote the book Overpowered, and has spoken at our conference for our profession and also at the Cancer Control Society here in Los Angeles, where I spoke. And we had lunch with him, and he said, I was a skeptic until I did my own, you know, research for Columbia on the DNA effects, and everyone is affected on a cellular level. But most people, Deborah, can heal the damage that's done when they sleep at night, particularly if they have an electric field-free environment. Huh. But the point is, a third of the population worldwide is known to have symptoms right now from these technologies. And we're in this grace period, this window during which the tumors are growing, and we have industry in this country saying that there's no harm, and they control Congress and government regulatory agencies like the EPA and the FCC, who say that there's no harm. But they're only looking at outdated research methods based on thermal effects only, and they're completely ignoring the biological effects at much lower levels where there are thousands of research studies overseas that show that there's a problem. So what's happening is in those countries around the world where the countries, the governments pay for the healthcare delivery for their population, they see the handwriting on the wall. They see the looming health crisis that's going to strain their budgets, just like happened with the other three problems, with tobacco, asbestos, and lead and gasoline. They see that this will be the fourth health crisis in 60 years. They want to get ahead of the curve, and so France just voted in January to ban Wi-Fi in daycare centers and nurseries.
Good for them.
So my question to the people in this country who say there's no problem with this is, why would this country decide to do this? Because of the overwhelming research that they are allowed to see, that's in the media. When the Council of Europe's, the Parliamentary Assembly of the Council of Europe, Committee Resolution 1815 was released in 2011, where literally this government agency, which is like our Consumer Product Safety Commission in this country, said to the European governments of all the member states, 47 member countries, you have to establish public awareness campaigns for particularly for people of childbearing age and teenagers. Tell the public about the harmful effects of continuous emissions from these devices, especially baby monitors and Wi-Fi and cordless phones. Take them out of classrooms and favor hardwired connections. Pay attention to the whistleblower scientists. Set up wave-free areas for the electrically sensitive population.
I need to interrupt you because we're going to come up on the music. It's going to happen in about 5 seconds. So I want to say thank you so much for being on the show. You have so much information. You can go to Orem's website, which is createhealthyhomes.com, and get a lot more information on the subjects that we've been talking
about.
Thank you,
Deborah.
Today. Thank you, Orem, and we'll talk again.
Thank you so much.
To Toxic Free Talk Radio. Be well.